This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All right, taking a look at our next story. Of course, you know, this almost age-old debate over the marriage of young children to adults, it's sort of cropped up this past weekend again. Mm-hmm. The recent case of a 41-year-old Cantonese man marrying an 11-year-old Thai girl. Many people have been sort of commenting on this particular story. A lot of criticism, a lot of protests to the fact that this is still legal, and sort of an understanding also about I think the state legislation and how sort of that takes place in cases of non-Muslim marriages and Muslim marriages.
Yeah, that's right. So just a reminder that, of course, in the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto, they made a promise to, stop all child marriage. They said they're going to raise the age from 16 to 18. This, of course, is a step in the right direction, but it doesn't address the problem entirely because you can raise the civil legislation to 18 years of age, but that doesn't actually address the religious issues that arise.
That's right.
So, with child marriages.
Yeah, so the legal age of marriage for non-Muslims is 18 for both genders, but a girl aged 16 can be legally married if the state chief mantri, if the state chief minister or Mantri Besar, or in the case of the fellow territories, its minister, authorizes it by granting a license. However, yeah, non-Muslims cannot get married below 16. So as you mentioned, with that particular proposal to make sure that, you know, right across the board, you need to be 18 to get married. But at this juncture, a lot of concerns about this latest incident of child marriage, about how it has been purported that it's used to legalize pedophilia.
Yeah.
There are concerns about exploitation of the child and a variety of other effects as a result of this particular union.
Yeah, I mean, so not just exploitation of the child, there's a whole load of other issues that are taking place in this particular story as well, right? We know that her parents come from real poverty, and it feels like, I think the excuse this 41-year-old gentleman said was, oh, you know, I wanted to help the father out.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are other ways of helping the father out, you know, you don't have to marry his 11-year-old daughter. And so there are all of these other issues that, you know, kind of tie into what feels like grooming almost.
Yeah.
The girl was said, oh, you know, we've been in love for like 3 or 4 years, ever since she was 9. And so all of these have the hallmarks of, you mentioned pedophilia and grooming, and it is a very concerning story. And there's, of course, very little repentance on the side of the 41-year-old who says, you know, I'm not going to annul the marriage. It's mm-hmm. perfectly fine. She's going to live with her parents until she's, I think, 16, at which point then she will become my wife.
Yeah. And I think a lot of this also ties in into the discussion of the ethics and the legality of child marriage within the Islamic tradition as well. And trying to have a sort of a better understanding of how that has been either interpreted or misinterpreted to our current situation.
Of course, in our current situation, there isn't much discussion, though. I mean, there is just a case of people shouting down the other side simply because they said, well, that's scripture, or it's written in scripture, and so therefore it shall not be questioned.
Yeah.
And they tie it back, I guess, to the prophet himself, right? Who one of his wives was very, very
Aisha.
Young.
Yeah.
Aisha. But however, there's another interpretation of the Aisha story.
Well, there are many.
There? Yeah. And you know, some scholars believe that Aisha wasn't necessarily as young as everyone claims she is. So this discussion isn't taking place. There's just a lot of screaming and shouting on social media and calling people either, you know, you're not Muslim or you're not Muslim enough, and
right,
therefore you don't understand what's going on. It's a real powder keg.
And not just that, you have other folks who are discussing this completely in the terms of where's the jurisdiction of state and federal.
Correct.
With regards to issues like marriage. And what sort of amendments or reforms need to take place and where, right? It's about making sure that the state assemblies themselves, if they wish to do something about this, repeal the laws that are in place. But of course, this is uniform right across all the states in our country when it comes to the issue of marriage amongst Muslim couples.
So we've had a lot of our newly minted ministers, as well as our MPs, come out and speak out against this and say that something has to be done. I think one of the strongest voices has been from Zuraida Kamara, Kamarudin, who's the Housing and Local Development Minister, I think in a series of tweets, who left, well, no room for doubt, actually. She said that this has to stop, right? Any modern society cannot actually play host to any kind of child marriage. A greatest disappointment, of course, was that we didn't hear much from our Deputy Prime Minister, who released a statement saying that they're investigating the matter and things will be taken in consideration of the law. But we don't know her stand. She did not come out and give us her stand on the matter. It's not entirely unsurprising, but disappointing nevertheless.
Well, we have on the line Shamila Sekaran, chairperson of Voice for the Children. Shamila, thank you very much for joining us on the program. Tell us, why do we still not have a uniform legal age of marriage?
Yeah, so, I mean, as you know, Malaysia, we've got laws for non-Muslims and laws for Muslims. For Muslims, it's state enacted, so it will be dependent on which state or territory you come from and the law relating to marriage for the Muslims there. But by and large, there is an age, a stated age, which is 16 for girls. But either the Sharia court judge or the chief minister for non-Muslims is able to, within certain circumstances, allow for someone younger than that to get married, which means there's no mandatory minimum age below which you absolutely cannot get married. The reason for that is really it's political will. There are a lot of communities that don't want a minimum age. They want to be able to get married to younger girls for whatever their own personal reasons are. And very much a lot of this is rooted in societal cultural practices. But what we have not done as a government and as a nation is to set a minimum age below which absolutely no one can get married.
So Shamila, what do you think should be the minimum legal age for marriage then?
You know, it's high time we have a minimum age, and the minimum age should be nothing less than 18 years for boys and for girls. What a lot of people confuse is the age of consent to have sex versus an age of marriage. And we cannot merge these two issues. They're different issues and should be dealt with and treated separately. We have a statutory age for a lot of things, for example, even voting. So we cannot vote, but we can get married. And marriage is a far, far more serious, long-term responsibility institution than, for example, drinking or voting. Or, you know, voting, you make the wrong vote, you change government in 5 years. But for marriage, it's supposed to last for life. So, it doesn't make sense not to have a minimum age. A lot of people cite religion, culture, but, you know, there is absolutely no religion and there's absolutely no culture or racial group that mandates children to be married, whether it's boys or for girls. So there is no reason, and there's everything, a lot, research, science, medicine, all militates against underage marriage or child marriages. So there is absolutely nothing to be said positively for child marriage.
I guess the power lies in the hands of chief ministers or Sharia judges to decide whether an underage individual is allowed to marry. What are your thoughts on how they've made their decisions in the past?
What we have seen is that they have absolved themselves of all duty and responsibility. Although they were, they have been given this power, in inverted commas, to sign off and permit someone, a child below the age of 16, to be married. Really, they need to check. They need to interview the children. They need to check that there has been free consent. They have to ensure that the person giving consent, the child giving consent, knows and fully understands the impact and effect and width and breadth of the consent being given. But what we have seen over and over the years is that they have not taken responsibility. What we have seen over and over over the years is that very often these marriages end at a very early age, when leaving the mother with a very young family. The male party in this relationship, whether it's a boy or an adult man, absolves himself of all responsibility and nothing is done about it. So there has been very little tracking and ensuring that the husband stroke father in this young marriage, child marriage, has been responsible. So, the chief ministers and the Sharia court judges have not been upholding their part of responsibility.
Now, reports have quoted the 11-year-old child insisting that she's in love with the man. Through our lens, we would view this as a consequence of grooming, which is addressed in the Sexual Offences Against Children Act 2017. But why doesn't the Act actually address child marriage?
Well, you know, when SOAC, the Sexual Offences Against the Child Act, was being drafted and going through Parliament, it was something very much that was raised. I think if one was to look at Hansard, YB Tony Ching raised it as an issue. However, it was said that the amendments should be made in the laws which permit marriage rather than in this Act, which is one of the issues when Acts are enacted without the relevant amendments across the board. But regardless, I don't think that we should be thinking that grooming has not happened, because very, very clearly, what does an 11-year-old know about love? They know about love of a pet or of family, but what do they know of the kind of love that is required for a marriage and the consequences of getting married? So what is she giving consent to? At the age of 11, and given the fact that she has not received any kind of education, given the fact that her parents apparently are illiterate, as a entire family, what is the depth of their knowledge and understanding of what they're committing to? And this is a classic case of an entire family having been groomed. They are being groomed by someone who is, in a sense, a leader within a community, or someone who is, in a sense, and kind of like an employer or a headman for them, from what we understand. And very often we see and we know that grooming can happen with just the child, but it can also happen with a family such as this, who are, in a sense, the more underprivileged or look up to someone. And very often it happens to vulnerable people. And these people are very, very obviously vulnerable, given the background that we are aware of, the poverty that they are operating under or living under.
Now, of course, taking a look at how this situation has unfolded, are you hopeful that the government will take necessary action against everyone involved in this child marriage and to actually end it for good?
I am very hopeful. I am very concerned about the voices that are coming out that are suggesting that it may be okay if we have special circumstances, because we know that special circumstances are always open to abuse. But I am hopeful that this government will do the right thing. It is in the commitment 4 of the Pakatan Harapan manifesto. So I really, really hope that they will hold to their own manifesto, this government. NGOs, civil societies are all open to dialogue. We're all open to helping the government to put forward, to advocate for the correct position and take this out of the religious debate. This is not Islam. It's also happening a lot in among the Rohingya community. It's happening a lot among the interior, the people living in Sabah and Sarawak, but in the interior. So really, it's an issue of poverty more than anything else. So if we are able to, one, advocate against it, set the minimum age, educate communities, educate parents, educate children that they don't have to get married. We need to find a different solution to what everyone perceives as being a social problem, and early marriage being the answer to that social problem. Marriage is not the answer, because what you're just doing is legitimizing something that is problematic, but creating a different social problem. Because, like I said, a lot of these child marriages, those people who are getting married as children are living on the poverty line, if not below the poverty line. How do we expect an 11-year-old to be a good parent to her children if and when she has them? And yes, in this case, the man has said we're going to wait till she turns 16. But even at the age of 16, if she's never been educated, what is she going to teach her children? If for any reason he leaves her or for someone else, because he's already got two other wives, or, you know, God forbid that something should happen to him and he cannot look after her, what's going to happen to her? What's going to happen to her offspring? So there are a lot of problems that people say, well, marriage is the solution. No, it's not. You can find a different solution or answer to that problem. Marriage is not it.
Well, Shamila, thank you very much for joining us on the program and breaking down the law for us. That was Shamila Sekaran from Voice of the Children. Organizations like Suhakam have come out to say that this is, you know, unethical and of course, coming up with a statement of their own on this issue.
Yes, yes. But before that, you know, what's curiously surprising in all of this was how one of Suhakam's own commissioners, Nick Salida Suhaila Nick Saleh, came out approving this union in her Facebook post. Now, in it, as reported by the Malay Mail Online, she said that even if your wife is 11 years old, it's fine. There are a lot of conditions in following the sunnah, not only because you're a man. Now, she has since edited her Facebook post, and BFM reached out to her this afternoon for a comment, and this is what she had to say.
It is out of context, it is misunderstanding, because I have been advocating increasing the legal age of marriage for girls up to 18. And even I also proposing for boy to be increase the age of 18. So I think maybe because of non-Malay readers will not really understand my context, because I did ask few Malay readers and they said it's clear they understand that I go against child marriage. So on my side, maybe I have to be very careful about writing something which try not to confuse public at large.
Now, when the story broke over the weekend, Suhakam had come out to say that there was no justification for child marriages. The commission also expressed concern that pedophilia could be legalized in child marriages approved by Sharia courts or the state chief ministers. Nick Salida, in her statement this afternoon, says she is in line with Suhakam on this.
As a Suhakam commissioner, I do have the same standing with Suhakam's statement that we go against child marriage. And even I question about the approval of polygamous marriage in that marriage, because the girl is third wife and the husband didn't perform his duty to the first and second. And how come he was allowed to marry the third one by the, I don't know, qadi or imams? So in that sense, my concern is not only child marriage, but also polygamous marriage.
So that was Suhakam Commissioner Nick Salida Suhaila Nick Saleh with her comments to her initial Facebook post condoning child marriages. Hopefully that provides some clarification to her respective statements.
Right. Now we're going to cross over to Ramya Kuna. She is currently in Form 6 and she joined forces with nine other students to form a group called Vanguards for Change. Now their goal is to educate other children about their rights and also various issues like cyberbullying, grooming and so on. Ramya, it's great to hear from you. Let's start with your thoughts on the news we're talking about. Where do you think the issue of child marriage is coming from?
I would say that it's definitely starting from the parents' tradition. Okay, as an Indian, I'm an Indian. For many years, I've realized my grandmothers and my grandfathers, they have always done this child marriage because they always think traditionally that a man who is elder and matured would be able to take care of a child. At that time, I would agree, yes, because at that time they think females do not have the rights to educate themselves. Therefore, the females were not really educated. So they needed a matured man, a man who was, you know, elderly enough to, you know, teach them. But at this time, everyone is given the opportunity to study. They are all given the equal rights. So I think some parents still follow the tradition, especially the ones who are poor, because they do need support from other places. You know, they need money and all that. And they could not afford taking care of their children. For example, the recent issue of how this 11-year-old girl got married to the 41-year-old man, the Thai parent claimed that they were poor people and they rely on the son-in-law to take care of their 11-year-old child. Yeah, and what do I mean by tradition is for many years we believe that a girl, once she reaches her puberty, she has to get married so that she doesn't fall in love and runs away with another guy.
Right. Now, and have you ever come across such problems involving your friends or even among the children you work with?
Yes, I know a friend of mine, actually, my own friend who got pregnant at the age of 16 and is a mother of a one-year-old girl right now. It's really sad because she's a very clever person. I've known her for a very long time. I've known her. She's a straight A student. And when she get into this kind of situation, it's really sad because she lost her education. She lost her life as a teenage girl. And she has to carry a responsibility of a mother at the age of 16 and 17, which is really very sad. It's not something a teenage should go through.
Indeed. And so is sex education something that you talk about in your programs as well? Because from what we understand, it's still a sticky issue in our schools, to say the least.
Sex education is actually something very important, but it's very hard to approach kids with that kind of topic this time. Because children already know about it, but then they are taught to not talk about it. So when we try to approach them to make them talk about it, they feel shy or they're scared. I'm not sure what do they actually feel, but they kind of feel it's not right to talk about it. Yeah, and you know, kids nowadays at the age of 12, 11, they call themselves boyfriend, girlfriends. Yeah, they should actually, you know, kids, like I said, they're very fast and all that, so they should be taught. I mean, I do not go against them, but they should still be taught on their limits and all that stuff.
So, Ramya, you've just talked about the importance of education, which is still lacking in schools. So if you had the years of the Ministry of Education right now, what would you say to them?
I think it's very important because as a student, I've seen a lot of my friends get into the wrong path, wrong decision, wasting their life at a very young age. I do not want more students to go through what they have gone through, to carry such responsibility at such a young age, whether it's boys or girls. Everybody needs education, whether it's sex education or about their rights or whatever education at that matter, everybody needs it. I would really like government schools or anyone to let us teach children, if you cannot put it in their subjects, in their books, at least we will be able to teach the children so that they do not get into the wrong path or take the wrong decision. And child getting married at 11 is seriously something that is not acceptable, whether the parents agree or not. It's something not acceptable because at 11 years old, she's losing so much. She's losing her teenage life. She's losing her happiness. There's a lot of news about how children die giving birth at a very young age. So I think the child marriage should really be banned no matter where, whether it's for girls or boys. A child below 18 should not be married. I mean, I think a person below 21 shouldn't be married, if you ask me, because they're not mature enough to take that kind of decision.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the program. That was Ramya Kuna from Vanguards for Change. It's a group that's teaching students about child rights. You can find them on Instagram, Vanguards for Change with the number 4. Of course, our phone lines have been open. We've got a caller on the line right now who wants to talk about the story that we spoke about earlier. It's Aisha on the line. Hi, Aisha.
Hello, hi, Ezra.
How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you. I'm stuck in traffic.
All right, tell us what's on your mind.
I would like to contribute to how we as citizens can actually take action once we come across this kind of cases.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes, there are 3 steps, actually. Number one, you lodge a police report. This is in accordance to the Sexual Offences Against Children Act 2017. So number one, you lodge a police report. Make sure that you use the term grooming, sexual grooming, mm-hmm. or in Bahasa Melayu is Bahasa Malaysia is penantuan, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh wow! Okay,
well look it up.
Yes, please. And number 2, you need to inform your local JKM, Jabatan Kebajikan Masyarakat, as well as inform the headquarters in Putrajaya.
All right, and Aisha, what's your familiarity, with regards to these steps, and how familiar have you been with this process?
I actually run a sex education movement for girls. We are called SPOT, Simple Puberty Organizing Toolkit. Mm-hmm. We go into schools and we teach girls puberty education. And I just attended the Girls Not Bright global meeting.
Right.
So we were with, you know, our friend Sisters in Islam, and we were with Voice of Children Malaysia and WAO. So this is how, why it's imperative for me to say something about this.
And Aisha, if I may ask, what's been... some of the sort of the big revelations that you've experienced in talking about sex education to young girls and making sure that they're fully informed of all of the issues and everything in play?
For us, myself and my volunteers, it's been a great experience. Our programs are all recognized by the Ministry of Education, mm-hmm. and we are supported by the Ministry of Health. So the teachers are very cooperative. They really welcome our program. And it creates a safe space for the girls to be able to talk and address things about their body. And taking back power, basically. And also, parents are very, very supportive as well. Fathers, especially. The feedback that we got from fathers are amazing. So overall, the response has been very, very great. It's almost like an awakening. And it's because we provide a safe platform for the girls, it is just amazing support that we get from the community.
And actually, Suma here, just a quick thing before we let you go. In your experience and in your training, what is the level, what is the current level of awareness?
Current level of awareness is very, very low. I'm talking about they don't even know why they are having a period or why do they go through puberty. And they didn't even know that it's a natural process that is going, that everybody goes through. They thought, you know, only girls are having this issue. I learned a lot, actually, from the global meeting with Girls Not Brides, mm-hmm. and from the exchanges that we had, especially best practices. And we are now following up with United Nations agencies to make sure that we comply with the international guidelines for the comprehensive sexual education that we provide to our children, Malaysian children.
Well, Aisha, thank you very much, firstly, for calling in and also for sharing your experiences with regards to young children and sex education and all the good work that you're doing. Thank you very much for calling in. Folks, we'll be right back after this as we take a look.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.